So until then, my heart will go on singing. Yes, until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day mine eyes behold that city. So until then, my heart will go on singing. Yes, until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in church tonight? Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a privilege it is to be back in the house of the Lord. We had a great time here over the weekend, didn't we? Certainly did. And tonight, being Wednesday night, we're here to do it all over again. I believe God's going to meet with us in a wonderful, wonderful way. It can be a dollar service or it can be a 10-cent service. It's just whatever you want to make out of it tonight. How many of you want a silver dollar service? Somebody say praise the Lord. Now give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of God tonight. So until then, my heart will go on singing. Yes, until I'll carry on until the day mine eyes behold that city. Until the day God calls me home. Yes, until then, my heart will go. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We've got some prayer requests we want to let you know about. Not a name attached to this, but says, pray for me. I have a very urgent and spoken prayer request. Thank you, and may God bless each one of you. So we just commit that to the Lord tonight. Sister Joanne Tessa says, please pray for me. I'm going to have tests done on Friday, and she just praying that everything will be all right, and ask us to join with her as we pray tonight. Sister Ruth Ann Carter says, thank you for praying for Mac's brother-in-law, Harold Figgs. He was unable to eat. He is eating now, thank the Lord, and has gained 5 pounds. Continue praying for the cancer of the throat and that he will be completely healed. May God bless. Well, praise the Lord. Let's just commit that need unto the Lord tonight. Amen. I want to pray for Dottie Grindstaff. She's the niece of Sister Gerald Yance, been diagnosed with lung cancer. Also, it has spread to the lymph nodes, so let's remember her tonight as we pray that God will be mindful of her. Sarah Belanger says, please pray for an unspoken, urgent prayer request the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord tonight. Sister Sandy Arrowood says, please pray for traveling mercy for Brother Tim Arrowood and his family. for the Levi Wallace family in Arizona. He was killed in a plane crash. Also, three other young people killed. All believers, so praise God for that. It is all believers. And let's just pray for those families of those young people. I think there was four that were killed in a plane crash in Sedona, Arizona. And the families, let's just pray that God will comfort their hearts, be with them. I want to pray for Brother Daniel Nunley. He had to be readmitted to the hospital because of an infection in his leg, cellulitis. I believe it's what he has. He has been in so much pain, and he asked the church to remember him in prayer. So we certainly want to remember Brother Daniel tonight as we pray that the Lord will be mindful of him. Sister Colette Dobbs from Indiana called to request prayer for her daughter, Erica Ritchie, who has a blood clot in her leg and other medical issues. Also, a prayer request for her husband's niece. Her name is Radon Davis, and her first child was delivered stillborn on Monday. She and the family are very upset and need our prayer, so let's remember those requests in regard to that need tonight. And this is just a little bit more information. I think someone had called Brother Terry Horn and asked that we would remember the families of these young people, Jonathan McGarry, Levi Wallace was the two young men, and there were two young sisters, one from Germany and one from Canada. Very sad mishap. So we just commit those things unto the Lord. There's so many things we'll never understand in this life, and we really don't need to, because God understands, and He's got it all in control. Do you believe that tonight? Certainly want to continue to pray for Brother Junior Davis, the Davis family, tonight as we remember them, and just ask God to have His divine will in that situation. He's more than able. He's more than able. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Let's stand tonight. Brother Rob, come tonight. Lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite His presence into this service and ask Him to have His will on all these prayer requests tonight. Brother Rob, God bless you.
God bless you, brother. Let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come before you, and with our hearts bowed before you, I pray, Lord God, with thanksgiving in my heart, I pray for these prayer requests that have been made, Lord, the serious needs that are upon the people's hearts. As Brother Lou was saying about the four children in the plane wreck, Lord, we can't imagine what it is that you have in store. Or have in store for our lives. But we, as he said, Lord, that they were believers. That is something to be thankful for. That there are people that we know that are not believers and don't have that testimony in this life. Lord, that they were believers, and that was the testimony that we have heard. Then we believe that you have all things under control. And it was for our good, for our benefit. How hard it must be, Lord, for their families to recognize that. But it is for their benefit. As if they were believers, their testimony was that, and joy can fill our souls, if not our hearts right now. Joy can fill our souls that they have been there in your arms. And they'll be there that day with the testimony of a living Christ in the midst of our hearts. I pray, Lord God, for all these needs. I pray for the service tonight. I pray that you'd open up the word to us, Lord. I pray that you'd be there for us, Lord, that we could recognize you, that you could have your way in this service. Help us to get out of the way. Anoint the speaker, Lord. Anoint also the hearers. I thank you for your grace that you extend to us, and so often and so plentiful. I thank you for that we have prayer requests. We have someone to go to, that this is a living God that we serve, and that these prayer requests actually are not upon deaf ears, but you have power to do something about it. Lord, for years, there was where I used to be. Years ago, it was the prayer list was for saints that would never, you'd never hear anything. There'd never be any testimonies. There'd never be any good things that would happen. But Lord, that we could have these people make prayer requests and have something move in our midst and hear of a resurrected Christ doing things in our lives. What a joy and a privilege it is, Lord. We believe and we thank you for the Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Rob. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here with us in the service tonight. All those that are streaming tonight, I pray this service will be a blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing this chorus tonight together. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall. Do you believe that tonight with all your heart? Praise the Lord. Let's sing it. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. He is our peace, who has broken down every wall.
peace. Yes, He is our peace. He is our peace. Who has broken down every wall? Oh, He is our peace. He is our peace. Now sing it with all your heart. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. Oh, He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him. Sing it to Him, church. Hallelujah. Oh, He is our peace. Oh, thank You, Lord. Yes, He is our peace. Who has broken down our peace. He is our peace. With all your heart, cast all your cares, for He cares for you. He is. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. He is our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares. Cast all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. Oh, He is. Thank You, Lord, for being our peace. He is our peace. Cast all your cares on Him. My everything. Oh, He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave His life for me, made everything new. Oh, He is my everything. So how about You? One more time. Oh, He is my... Sing it to Him, church. Hallelujah. He is His life for me made everything new. He is my everything. So how about you? And it's amazing grace. Sing it now. How sweet the sound of that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. When we all sing it to him. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. The sun, oh, we know, ought to sing God's praise then when we first begun. I want you to lift your hands. Let's praise God. 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 I don't know if you've ever heard this part added to it or not, but it's a good little part. We learned a little bit of it Sunday. Are you in the same key? What? I'll tell you in a minute. I'm trying to think of it myself. I just began to live. I just began to live. Since God's amazing grace came in, I just began to live. Old things have passed away. Behold a brighter day. My name's recorded up above. I just began to live. I just began to live. I just began to live. My name's recorded up above. I just began to live. Old things have passed away. Behold a brighter day. My name's recorded up above. I just began to live. I just began to live. I just began to live. Since God's amazing grace came in, I just began to live. Old things have passed away. Behold a brighter day. My name's recorded up above. I just began to live. Praise the Lord. Amen. We just begin to live. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. We have a couple of songs. Sister
Anna Lynch, Sister Rebecca Horniak, they have us a song tonight if they'll come onto the platform. And Brother Sam Davis, the Davis brothers, they're from Brother Mike Price's church. They're here tonight. They're going to give us a song. If you guys want to come onto the platform, be getting ready. Have a seat over there. And let's enjoy our singers. Where are our singers at? Let's give them a nice hand tonight as they come to sing.
Lord tonight. Amen. I tell you what, the presence of the Lord is here. Sorry, guys. This is an old one, but it's a blessing, so I hope you all be blessed tonight. It's a key of G, a chord progression of E minor, C, G, D. You're fine. You're just fine. Good? All right.
Let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Father, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Our hearts are hungry now. We long to feel your power. We need another touch from you, Lord. We've come into this place to be lost in your embrace. We need another touch from you, Lord. We're insufficient in our words and our own ways. We need another touch from you, Lord. So our hearts are crying out, our souls are screaming now. We need another touch from you, Lord. So Jesus, let it rain. Father, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Father, let it rain. Open the floodgates for heaven. We've moved into this place and to be lost in your embrace. We need another touch from you, Lord. We're insufficient in our works and our own ways. We need another touch from you, Lord. So our hearts are crying out, our souls, they're screaming now. We need another touch from you, Lord. So Jesus, let it rain. Hallelujah. And Father, let it rain. We know you can open the floodgates of heaven. Father, let it rain.
Stand together tonight. We're privileged people, aren't we? Yeah. To be able to live in a day when billions of people live on the face of the earth. And you wonder how many of them in this very night know the real truth of the gospel, what it's really all about. We would go down from billions to millions to hundreds of thousands to tens of thousands. I wonder how many there would be if the rapture were to come at this very moment that are really filled with the Holy Ghost, ready to go. I don't know how many more there are, but I know of one. I'm ready. I live ready. Don't you? I don't get ready on Sunday and then get unready on Monday and get ready on Wednesday and unready on Thursday. I stay ready. I think that's the way the Lord wants us to be. Don't you? Stay ready. Watch and pray. Watch ye therefore. Pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. That's our desire tonight. We're so honored and blessed. Brother Tim Pruitt's going to come and speak for us tonight. Mainly his trip to come up this week was to see Brother Junior and the family there. Brother Tim has been friends. Him and Sister Karen with the Davis family and the King family, actually, before they all moved here years ago. So they go back for a long, long way and spend a lot of time together. And Brother Tim just really wanted to come up and see Brother Junior and the family and have prayer with them and just try to encourage them, encourage me. And so I thought, if he's going to encourage them and encourage me, maybe he could encourage you. Yeah. Amen. So we want to open our hearts tonight and just invite Brother Tim to come. I know you come with a need in your life, or many needs in your life. And we know the Lord is mindful of us, isn't he? He's so mindful of everything that we have need of. So let's just open our hearts and we'll pull on the gift of God. Brother Tim is certainly no stranger here. I call him my little buddy. That's because he's shorter than me. Amen. Don't mean I'm a big man and he's a little man. It just means he's shorter than I am. Amen. Brother Tim was among some of the first ones that I met years and years ago. And him and Brother Daniel Williams. And we had one of the youth camps, one of the first ones that I'd ever preached in down in Louisiana. And they invited me to come. And then we had some fishing time thereafter. We went on several lakes and a couple lakes and went fishing. And so they started hammering me. What do you believe about this? What do you believe about that? What do you believe about that? I wasn't sure if I was going to walk the plank or be like Jesus and walk on the water. But I was... Amen. So that was quite an introduction that I had to Brother Tim Pruitt and Brother Daniel Williams. But we've been friends over the years and God has kept us together by His grace. And in the hour that we're living of instability and people shifting this way and that way and all that, isn't it so wonderful to have friends and preachers and brothers and sisters that just plow on the same straight furrow, just going right on with the same gospel? Amen. I'm going to open our hearts tonight to the Lord. Brother Tim?
Well, praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of God. Good to be here with you tonight. We count it a privilege to be assembled with you and in the house of God together with you this evening. God's been so good to us. He's been gracious. He's been kind. And through many dangers, toils, and snares, we have already come. And it's grace that has brought us to where we are today. And amen. It's good to see you all. It's a homecoming. It's nice to be here. And I want to thank Brother Donnie for this opportunity to be in service with you tonight. He's very gracious. I know y'all have had quite a bit of different ministers in. And I didn't come to preach. But, you know, I just wanted to come and be together with Brother Donnie and the Davis family as they have been going through a very difficult time. But the Lord is always there. Amen. Amen. For He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And that's His divine promise. Just recently, we had a family camp, which we are holding over the first Sunday, first weekend, and starting on Wednesday all the way through Sunday on the 1st of June. And we had Brother Danny Steeman, Brother Ron Spencer, Brother Ed Biskel, Brother Donnie Reagan to be our speakers. It was a meeting of the ages. Just a tremendous time in the Lord. And your pastor, Brother Donnie, outdone himself, I'll tell you. We were so blessed.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I know you hear him a lot and you enjoy his ministry, but he was at his top. He was at the head of his game in those meetings. Amen. And we were so blessed by it. Amen. And we so appreciate Brother Donnie and the friendship that we've had through the years and the fellowship we've had with you here at Happy Valley through the years. And appreciate the time together this evening. Our time is limited, so we just want to just talk to the Lord a moment, go into the Word, let the Lord speak to our hearts tonight, pray that He'll fill our mouths with good things to say and then stop us when we said enough. But He knows exactly what your need is tonight. He's very cognitive of your need, and He's able to minister to you and to your need personally because He's a personal God. If you've got a need in your heart and life tonight, you just bow your head for a moment and pray a little prayer and say, God, I need you. And you know what my need is. Will you just speak to me through the Word tonight? Father, we're grateful to you for your loving kindness and tender mercies. To you bringing us to where we are today. Lord, we did not get here by ourselves. For as Moses said many generations ago, if you're not going, don't take me there. And Lord, we know it was you that has been leading us and guiding us in all that we have been through. And Lord, you're here with us today, for you never leave us or forsake us. Lord, we thank you, O God, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. Thank you for this church. Thank you for its pastor. Thank you for every person that assembles here. Lord, thank you for Brother Dan, Sister Judy Dyer. That's such a blessing to me and my family. Lord, has been our host while we've been here. Grant your blessings on them. Each need, Lord, supply. Holding in my hand, Lord, is a little piece of cloth. Some mother crying for her son. And I'm just asking your mercy upon that need tonight. You are the healer and the deliverer and the soul savior. And every need supply, Father. You can do exceeding abundantly above that which we're able to think or ask. Lord, we want to thank you, O God, for your grace that has been imparted to our brother Junior Davis and his family. And we just ask you'll continue overshadowing their lives and guide them through these difficult times, Lord. For we commit it all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, we'll read from verse 9. We've got some things there that we have been dealing with. It just it's been upon our hearts. And we just trusting that God will just speak to us tonight through the Word and reveal Himself to us in a very special way. And because the Word has life in it. It has power in it. It'll set you free tonight. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure which He had purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We're going to speak tonight on the maturity of the times. If you notice, it says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. I'd also like to take another reading from Revelation chapter 10. We'll begin there with the first verse. Now, the book of Revelation, of course, was written to this age. It wasn't really given to them back there 2,000 years ago at that time, because the understanding was not yet given in that age. They did not understand the seven stars and seven golden candlesticks. They did not understand that there was even another age to follow their age. But nevertheless, it was written for a time that the understanding would come. And we're now living in that dispensation. You must recognize your day in this message. I would have been great to understand, you know, messages of other ages past, and there were things that was written to them in prior ages that are listed in the Bible, but we have something in the Scripture that has been written specifically for our time. And it was the job of the seventh angel in this day to reveal those mysteries to the church. And I want to say tonight, blessed are your ears for they hear and your eyes for they see. For there have been prophets and wise men and great men and even apostles of our Lord that long to see our day. And God has allowed you to look on things that others were not allowed to look upon. And to hear things that was written in the word for your day. It would be things like Daniel would say, you know, I heard, but I understood not. You know, it would be those voices in Revelation 10 that we're going to read about that were uttered, that were sealed into the days of the voice of the seventh angel. Things that were written in symbolic form that we couldn't understand until it came time for it to be understood. And we're here in the maturity of the times where things are being made known that had never been understood before. The understanding comes. Wasn't that it wasn't written in the Word. It was written in the Word. But the understanding of it didn't come till the end time. Revelation 10:1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and things that which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and on the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And as soon as I'd eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Now this is a promise that has been left in the word that was sealed to prior ages. But it was promised that when times matured, amen, it would be given to the church, and it would be the final prophecy, that finally these things that were held back and kept secret from other ages would be revealed to an end time people. And it's not that God has not been at work, but God has certainly been doing things down through the ages. Some feel that there has been a delay, you know, in his coming, and people have become quite restless, and others lukewarm because of that, and even some have quit because they've just given up on his return. Things are not turning out the way they thought it would. So it's like as the days of Noah, they quit and they're not hanging around the ark anymore. Maybe sometimes they figure that something will happen and they'll just get their own boat, you know. But if it isn't God's constructed boat, it ain't gonna float. Amen. It's gotta be God constructed. Amen. But there's always been an anxiousness within God's people, and there should be. Amen. For we should be under expectation for his coming. And all of the great expectation, though, we should not miss what God is doing. Amen. Because the climatic event of that meeting in the air that we have been anticipating has not yet transpired, it doesn't mean that God is absent.
Or that God has went back to heavens and he's just forgot about us all. And, you know, he's not interested in his work on the earth anymore. But rather God down through the ages would do things. But he would do it in a way that would not be understood by the world. He would change his mask, or he would come in a different form than what they were looking for. And God would actually morphe or change his form. Like an actor on the stage, the scene would change and he would come again in a different tactic or different way or different form than what they were looking for him. And you must see him in the way that he's revealing himself. Now, Brother Branham tells us in the unveiling of God that like he was in Moses, when the Word was in Moses, he was God in flesh. When it was Jesus, it was God in flesh. See, only thing he done was change his mask, not his Word, not his nature. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He only changed his form. He changed from Noah to Moses. He changed from Moses to David. From David, Joseph, on down till he come in the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. See, it's still the same God. Amen, amen. I hope that gets through. It's the same God, but he just takes on another veil. See, he just puts on another veil. Amen. So God would morphe, or he would change form. Now, most Bible readers don't realize that he changed mask all down through the ages, and he would finally return back to his fullness again. In other words, the fullness of the Godhead would be in a people. And it's not going to be in another man like it was in Christ Jesus, but it would be in a bride body, his people. Now, Brother Branham tells us this in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He said all those things typed him, just in type, yet the mystery was healed. Them men did not know what they were doing. They only knew they were led by the Spirit to do something. Now, so, you know, when Joseph, when he portrayed the life of Christ, he didn't say, now, I got to do this because I got to portray the life of Christ. You see, he didn't realize when he was being sold for 30 pieces of silver and cast in a pit and raised up from there to the right hand of Pharaoh that he was foreshadowing or typing anything. He had no clue that his life was prophesying of a greater Joseph to come. Amen. Maybe what a great blessing it would have been. Or what a comfort to him in that hour to say is, what I'm doing, you see, is reflecting the Messiah when he comes. But he didn't realize that. You see, he was living out a prophecy in his life. His life was actually prophesying of another day, of another time, where that prophecy would be fulfilled. It was the same thing with Abraham when his faith was tried concerning the child that was to be born. You see, he didn't realize why he had to wait until he was old and past childbearing. And Sarah waited until she was old and past childbearing. They didn't realize when they come up to, you know, even the trial with Abimelech and he told the lie to the king of Gerar. You see, you know, sometimes you say, well, why is that even in the Bible? Well, if it wasn't in the Bible, we wouldn't know that Sarah turned back young again. Amen. We would know that Sarah changed. We would think that she was a wrinkled old 90-year-old woman giving birth to a baby. But it wasn't that way. Amen. But she was desired by a king to be part of his harem. You see, all of that had to be there. It was all a part of the prophecy. Amen. But they didn't realize they were prophesying. Amen. So Sarah couldn't say, oh, glory to God, I'm prophesying here. No, she couldn't say that. She couldn't say, I'm reflecting another age and another people whose bodies are going to be changed to receive the promised son. She couldn't see that. She could only act out the prophecy. Amen. And we've come down to the end of the ages. And we're no longer prophesying. Hallelujah. We are the prophecy. Hallelujah. And because of that, we are now reflecting what all of them were. Hallelujah. In Revelation 19, we're robed with the righteousness of the saints. That faith that was in Abraham, that's what we have put on. That perfection that was in Joseph, all the way down, all of those patriarchs, all the way down to Scripture. We are clothing ourselves with the Word, with the prophecy that spoke of us. Because they were the negative, and we are the positive. And I say, what an age, what an hour, what a time that we're living in. Where all of the Scripture has been pointing to our day and to our hour. Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he says. All those things typed him just in type. But yet the mystery was hid. Them men didn't know what they were doing. They only knew that we're being led by the Spirit to do some. Now holding it back in the last day for the great revelation. But expressing it, express himself in Moses and David and Joseph and Elijah and on down through. We could take each one of those prophets and bring out their lives and show it expressed Jesus Christ perfectly, exactly. Yet never given his secret in full. Waiting for it to be made known in the last day as he promised. Waiting for it to be fully comprehended, see, before he could express it if he told the whole thing. Because the Bible is written in mysteries. Jesus thanked the Father for it, that it was wrote in mysteries. But he couldn't reveal it back then. You see, he couldn't show that first age, that there's going to be seven ages and 2,000 years before that he returned. Nobody would have died ready. Satan would have done a lot of damage with that. So he had to hold the mystery back and keep it a secret. Amen. Even the coming of the Messiah and the coming of the promised one, he couldn't tell Abraham back there. It's going to be thousands of years before the Messiah comes. He couldn't reveal it until it's time. And then he makes it known. Hallelujah. But you know, he comes down at this end time, down at the end time, down at the completing of the cycle. And he begins to show us the mystery that was in each one of those people's lives. And then tell us that in Revelation 10:8, that it must be prophesied again. That there must be somebody live out that prophecy again. Hallelujah. Thou manifest the faith of Abraham. The perfection of Joseph. Hallelujah. Thou manifest all the word will be manifested in a bright body. Hallelujah. In other words, the very thing that they was prophesying must now become manifested in the flesh. They were the negative. We are the positive. Hallelujah. Where that Sarah is changed now to receive the promised son. So we must be changed in order to receive the promised son. They were prophesying. The Bible's written in mysteries. We find that there's actually more mysteries than just the mysterious book of Revelation. Amen. We think of the book of Revelation as being a mysterious book, and so it is. It's a book of symbols. But actually, serpent seed was written in a mystery. The original sin. The plan of redemption. All of those things in Abraham's life and Joseph all the way down through the prophet was all written in a mystery. Amen. As we consider again the prophecy in Abraham's life, it was written in mystery form, in symbols. Abraham's life was foreshadowing or prophesying what would happen in the end time, that a people would actually be changed to receive the promised son. There was a hidden mystery in Boaz and Ruth. There was a hidden mystery in Rahab. There was a hidden mystery in Esther. There was a hidden mystery in David. There was a hidden mystery in Moses. Every one of them was prophesying. Though they didn't even know what they were doing, they were prophesying. What I'm trying to tell you is your Bible's more than a storybook. It's more than just a myth. It's more than just a history of a bunch of people. Your Bible is a prophecy. And in every bit has been speaking about you. It is prophesying of this day. And it's pointing to your hour. It's singling you out and saying, you are the called and you are the chosen and you're the people of the end time. Hallelujah. A people who is predestined to fulfill what has been written of them. But the revelation of God has always been hid from the eyes of the wise and the prudent. But it's revealed unto babes. Those that have been born again can get it. Brother Branham tells us how that God has been doing this now as he brings that fullness in Christ, and then he comes again, brings it in his fullness again in the end time. This is not just a statement. That's a reality. We're a people who can experience the very fullness and completeness of God. Even down to the point where our bodies will be physically changed by the message we have received. Amen. Now, from the book of Acts and through the church ages, Christ has been building a church. This was a statement where he said, I will build a church. And the foundation is not the building. Ephesians 2:20 says they're built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen. It's got to be built upon the foundation. That was the foundation. That was not the complete church. Come on, somebody. The foundation has been laid, but now we come down through 2,000 years, and God, through the ages, have been steadily building a church. He hadn't got, went back to heaven and forgot about us. No, he's been building a church through the ages. Amen. And here we are, some of the final stones that are being placed in the building. And some of the final people in the final age, at the final time, in the maturity of times. Amen. Where it all comes in the manifestation. Where it comes from type to reality. This is the age we're living in. They were reflecting and prophesying. And we become the prophecy. The unveiling of God, he says again, he did it in the reformers. He taken on a veil. Taken on a veil. Until finally it came down through the Lutheran age. Down through the other age. Then finally it comes out into the complete. But just before it comes, just before the complete comes, a prophet rises again. Amen. What's he doing? He's forerunning the second coming. Amen. Because all the second coming isn't just a meeting in the air. He's coming in bride form. Hallelujah. Amen. Because if he don't come in bride form, there'll be nobody to rapture. So he's got to bring his fullness in the bride form. So, just before it comes, just before the complete comes, a prophet rises again. And what it does, it foreshadows the word, showing back here, revealing what's been done, what's been left off, that the church will not be without understanding. And then when this fades out, then like John said, I must decrease, he must increase, then the all in all comes into him. He is fully manifested through Luther, Wesley, and Pentecostal age and on down, he's fully manifested. You see, come down, just the manifestation, God unfolding. See him fulfilled in his promises for this day as they had. So now the complete fullness of God must come back again in a bride body. Just as it came from the prophets and patriarchs and prophets down to Christ, where that Jesus was the faith of Abraham. He was the grace projected in Jacob. He was the love in Isaac. He was the perfection in Joseph. Amen. In him was the wisdom of Solomon. He was the Psalms of David. Come on. Amen. Until you finally come to where it was all encapsulated in that one man, Jesus Christ. Then we come down through seven ages. And there's got to be somebody that matches him. Who will also be the fullness of the Godhead in a body. Amen. In other words, the fullness of the Word in a body. Are you with me now? They too would be the grace that was shown in Jacob. They would be the faith of Abraham. They would be the perfection in Joseph. And on down because everything that he is, she will be. Carried on a little further, she'll be the justification of Luther. Amen. The sanctification in Wesley. She'll be the baptism of the Spirit in Pentecost. The restoration of the gifts until she finally comes back to the original Pentecost. The original Word. The original Gospel. Hallelujah. And she is the complete embodiment. The fullness of the Godhead. The fullness of the Word in a body. Hallelujah. There she manifests the works of God like the book of Acts. Because she is not a repeat. She is the continuation of the book of Acts. Amen. Where they left off and where they fell away from, God has brought us right back to that place where they went down in the ground. We're going to go up in the harvest. Hallelujah. There's not more ages to come. We have reached the climax of the ages. Hallelujah. Amen. She will be the complete embodiment, the fullness of the Godhead. She is will dress like the book of Acts. Come on, she's going to manifest the works of God like the book of Acts. She will manifest everything, look like, address like, act like, demonstrate the book of Acts. Everything he was, she will do in that maturity of times. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother Branham would say in Christ's a mystery, he would say God expressed in Jesus Christ, who is both Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwells in his church. The preeminence and all that God was, he poured into Christ. And all that Christ was, he was poured into the church, the believers. Again, he would say, who was Jesus manifested to show God? He was God. He had to be. No man could die. No prophet could die. He was a God. He, in other words, no prophet, no man could die for our sins. Amen. Nobody else could pay it. Amen. He was the God of the prophets. He was the prophets. He was the kings. He was the history. He was that which was to come. He that was, he that is, and he that's to be in this day. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And he was manifested for that purpose. And through that purpose, he achieved a church. That he, the fullness of God, might bring to pass every promised word in these last days when he gets the preeminence. Preeminence in the church, the position, his place in the church. That's what he wants. Preeminence. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Even more than this shall he do, for I go to my Father. See, that was his purpose. There was a manifestation today. He wants to get somebody that can so see it that they can let the Word. Watch what he says. See, Jesus seen it was so perfectly born for the day. Until God expressed every move that he made. He was God's revelation. He was God revealed. And that That's what the bride must be. Until she expresses every move that God makes. That, and she realizes she is God's revelation. Hallelujah. That's who you are. God revealed. A bride, people. A people called for his name's sake. Now he's sanctified with his spirit and blood, a church that he could make every promise in this last day be revealed. Hallelujah. Now he could go back and pick up what these other fellows has left off in the last days and by his Holy Spirit reveal all the mysteries of the seven seals. See, he is expressing himself. That was his purpose. That's why he died. That's the second fold of his threefold manifestation. First, to express himself in Christ. And then to express himself through the church. And the same thing, Christ was the Word, and the church becomes the Word. When it lets the Word go through them. Hallelujah. Don't you want to be that kind of people? That the Word can just live in you. That it can just flow through you. For he's going to express himself in bride form. Amen. Now, here he changes forms. And now he's got bodies that are going to be yielded to him. Men and women that yield their flesh to him. That they can so live out the prophecy. That they can be the manifestation of all the promised word that spoke of a bride. That they would be the embodiment of those promises. I'm going to say, what a word this is. Now, sometimes we just don't grasp the completeness of what this is all about. And exactly what God made us with. You know, that we can be like Christ. That Jesus so seen it. That he was so perfectly born for that day. Until God ever expressed every move that he made. May it be today, amen, that we so see it. Our position becomes so clear. Amen. Our purpose in life of the reason of this age that we have been brought into being. We are here for a reason. Hallelujah. We can say for this reason, for this purpose, I have come. Amen. I'm here to fulfill the Father's word. Come on. Not just part of the word, but all the word that was in Abraham. All the word that was in Isaac. All the word that was in Rebecca. All the word that was in Jacob. All the word of all the prophets. All the word that was in Christ. All the word that was in the apostles. All the word of the New Testament to be encapsulated in a bride people. What a holy calling. What a high calling we've been called to. And that's why you want to go into the scripture and see what's been written of you. What gave Jesus faith was he looked in the Word and saw who he was. Say, so we need more faith. Well, I'll tell you what. Go to looking and seeing what the Word said about you. Come on. Amen. Amen. He didn't say you were defeated. He didn't say you was a powerless, weak bunch of people whose prayers didn't mount to a hill of beans. No, he didn't say that. Amen. You've been called to be an invincible army. An indefeatable people. An overcoming church. Hallelujah. That will triumph in your age. I have been called to defeat Laodicea. I have been called to trample upon Sodom. I have been called to be an overcomer in my hour. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against this church. Hallelujah. That's why you want to search the Bible. That's why you want to listen to tapes. Our reason to listen to the sermons are not to find out if somebody else is wrong. And we're right and win this argument and get this doctrine
but to see what the Word spoke about me. What it prophesied of me. What God said about me. What I'm expected to be in this hour. And by His grace, I will be everything He said in the Word that I would be. Amen. If He said I would be without spot or wrinkle, and I look at myself and I find the spot or wrinkle, I know the spot or wrinkle can't stay. I ain't gonna live with this thing. It ain't gonna triumph over me. It won't dominate my life. I have been called to dominion. Hallelujah. If He could show in the scripture and show in the prophecy that there would be a seed of Abraham in the last days, who would believe the word, who would hold on to the promise of the coming son, and He would not give up. No matter what the circumstances look like, no matter how bleak it became, and how impossible it looked, they will not give up on that promise. Hallelujah! Abraham could say, God spoke to me. God sent me a message. Amen. An angel came and talked to me. Well, I'll tell you what, the seventh angel came and he brought me a message. Come on. Amen. He told me that I was going to receive the promised son, that we will not all sleep. Hallelujah. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Glory to God. I don't care what the circumstances look like. It matters not, boy, you know what it looks like worse today than it was yesterday. Come on. Amen. We're not about to give up on the promise. Hallelujah. Amen. I just tell you a little testimony. My son was up in Arizona and he was preaching in a meeting there, and there was a little autistic child and just so moved on his heart, and God granted him the opportunity to pray for this child, and those parents have grabbed a hold of that promise for that child. And they're holding on to it. And they're claiming it. Several months later, I'll go up there, and the grandpa pulls me aside and he says, you know, Brother Tim said, ever since then, there's been this change happening and that change happening. We've seen him socializing and things are happening. And we see it little by little. It's all beginning to happen. I went over and talked to his young father, and he's a minister in the message, and just a young brother, young to me anyway. And so, you know, he and I were talking. I said, well, your father was telling me about the improvements you're seeing your son. He said, yes, I see. My wife says to me, did you notice this? He's doing this. He said, but I'm not looking at that at all. I'm not looking to see if he's better or worse. My eyes are only on the Word. Circumstances will change. Doctors' reports will change. But God's Word never changes. Hallelujah. Amen. If He said you're healed, you're healed. If He said He was wounded for your transgression, your iniquities are removed. Whatever He said, believe that. You hold on to that promise. Amen. The Word of God can never fail because Jesus never fails. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory to God. The Word can't fail because Jesus never fails. And I'm not about to give up on the promise. My name's been called. Amen. I've been identified in the Scripture. Amen. I know who I am. Abraham could not know who he was like we know who we are, because we got all the scriptures that are pointing to us, and you can go back and search scripture after scripture, for in them you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of who you are. Hallelujah. So how can we turn our back on the Word and say, well, we'll just be one of the sodomites of the age? We cannot do that. We've been called to a higher calling. Amen. Yeah, you can be identified with the sodomites all you want to.
But that's not my calling. Amen. So we're not going to begin to put on garments that pertain to man and live a perverted life and so on like that, you know, as the Sodomites do. We're not going to go in that direction and take a perverted gospel. Because you see, we know they do not identify us. They only identify our day that we're living in. It only tells us that we're in the end time when the fire is about to fall. But it's not pointing to who I am. No. Amen. I'm not a part of the burning. I'm a part of the change. Amen. Because even as God in Morphe, I'm about to in Morphe. Hallelujah. I'm about to change. Are you a part of the change? Amen. As God pours out His fullness, are you a part of that change? Amen. That I say, God, pour out into me all that you are. I don't want just a portion of you. I don't want enough religion to make me sick. I want to be full. Amen. Son of God, called to this age, ordained to this hour, knowing who I am, knowing my position, that I am an adopted son of God. Amen. That I've been cloaked by the Holy Ghost. I've got His robe around me. I've been identified by Him. I know what my calling is. Hallelujah. Christ the mystery, Brother Branham would say in paragraph 380. And then there would come a time when He could express Himself in His fullness of His Godhead body, a deity through the church. Have the preeminence in this church. Oh my. What? The anointed man, now the anointed people. Hallelujah. Oh my, to bring back the anointed bride and bridegroom. Anointed by why? Accepting what Eve turned down. Now what did Eve turn down? She turned down the Word, eternal life. Amen. And Adam coming back with the anointing of the Word because he said, my Word is Spirit. See, anointed with the Word, what Eve turned down, He comes back and we accept. What Eve turned down was the life of God. She was made to be a dwelling place of God, but she took sin nature. Adam was made to be a dwelling place, but he took sin nature. Amen. They turned down the Holy Spirit for sin nature and sold us all into the bondage of sin. But now we come back around in the maturity of the times and we accept what Adam and Eve turned down. We reject sin nature to rule over us, to accept the life of Christ, to have the preeminence in us. That's the age we're living in. We want to reflect for a moment how the church has drug along for many, many years without the presence of the pillar of fire. As you know, the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. Every age should have partaken of that original fire. Every age should have received the same abstract title deed and the same Holy Spirit and the same fullness of God that they did on the day of Pentecost. We hear from Brother Branham that it was afforded to every age, but it was held back or bound at the doors of creeds and dogmas. False teachings kept it from the people. Amen. And so, you see, every age should have had and received the same abstract title deed, the same Holy Spirit, same fullness of God that they did on the day of Pentecost. But somehow, they lost it. It wasn't long when that first day started out, Jesus said, remember from which you have fallen. She had already fallen, was a fallen woman. She had already been seduced. She went right on into her seduction till she becomes the whore of the book of Revelation. Said, there's coming a great falling away. There's already been a great falling away. This is nothing new. Amen. And so, there again, we got to come back to here in the maturity ages. When you get to the end, You've got to go back to the first again. Come on. Amen. When you come to the end of the week, it don't all end. You just start a new week. Is that right? Amen. Here we are down the end, and we're going back to the beginning. Therefore, we started from Eden, and we're about to go back into Eden. And we have come back again to Pentecost, the original outpouring of the Spirit of God, and the abstract title deed being given. And we're coming right back to that same place where they fell, we accept. Where they started down, we're starting to ascend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1933, while Brother Branham was baptizing people in the Ohio River, in our day, the pillar of fire returned to the church. After not being seen, after a delay of thousands of years, the pillar of fire returned back to the church. Like I said, you say, Brother Tim, the Holy Spirit's always been here all through those years. Sure, every age has had its portion. Amen. I'm not denying that, but what I'm talking about is not a portion of Christ. Amen. I'm talking about the fullness, the complete of God, the Logos revealing Himself, the pillar of fire, and that pillar of fire vindicating a ministry and a vessel through whom the Word would come back in its fullness again. Amen. Let's go back further a little bit in time. We go to the Lamb of Calvary. There at Calvary, He did the purchasing work. Now in our day, as we come down, is still the work of the Lamb. Because where He's doing the claiming work. Where He claims the book. The title deed of redemption. Now He doesn't do this as a lion. He is a lion. But He's also a lamb. He doesn't do this as a lion. He does this as a lamb. He takes the book as the lamb. It was the lamb took the book, not the lion took the book. So He has not changed over to the millennial reign of Son of David, the Lion. He is still the Lamb of God. Finishing up redemption, doing a redeeming work. Amen. Now, again, you see, He does not take the role of Lion until He becomes King, and that will be in the millennium. Although He's already King, potentially. And He is King of Saints. But he will not become the lion until He comes into the millennial reign. And for right now, He's still doing the redeeming work. Amen. As lamb, and in doing so, He claims the book. Hallelujah. That's when John heard the Lion of the tribe of Judah had prevailed, he looked and saw a lamb. Because He has not changed forms yet to become a lion king over the earth. He won't do that until the millennial reign, and He'll be Son of David. Amen. But now He is the Lamb of God, and as the Lamb of God, He went to Calvary. Hallelujah. But when He becomes lion, all mercy is over. He becomes a judge. He becomes supreme ruler. But right now, He's the Lamb of God. And as Lamb, He went to Calvary. Amen? This is why John introduced Him 2,000 years ago and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world." Amen? But in this day, He's introduced again as Lamb. Amen. This time, not the Lamb paying the purchase price for our sins and going to the cross to Calvary again, but the Lamb is now claiming the book. Claiming His inheritance. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In claiming the book, He's claiming a people. He's claiming a bride for His name's sake. In order that He might claim them from the earth to go into a higher dimension. Amen. This is where we are in our day that the revelation has come forth. The mystery has been made known that the Lamb has taken the book. Do you realize He started his initial claims in claiming the book than he's claiming the people. Come on. He claims you. Hallelujah. I'm looking at people who were out in the world. He claims you from out in the world. I'm looking at people who were in denominations. But he claims you out of denominations. Amen. He said, this one's mine, this one's mine, that one's mine, that one's mine. He called and you came. Hallelujah. You talk about animals called into the ark. Brother, this is greater than animals called into the ark. This is a bride called into Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. You heard that divine call. And you yielded that divine call. Because there was something in you that could answer back to him. Because you were always his. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You couldn't stay out in the world. Some of you tried. Some of you tried to go back into the world. And you couldn't do it. There was something that kept reaching out to you. There's something that's calling you tonight and saying, don't give up. Don't quit. Amen. Come on. Come on in a little closer, child. You're mine. I claimed you. I've got a claim on your life. You were mine before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. He called you. Amen. He ordained you. Why am I here? He called me. He ordained me to this hour. I know who I am. I know what I've been called to. Hallelujah. I know where I've been called. I know where I have been placed. And with authority I can say to demons, take your hands off of God's people. Hallelujah. I can say like Moses did, let my people go. Satan, you cannot hold them. You can't hold our young people in sin. You can't hold our husbands and wives. We're all going in that great, great going up in that meeting in the air. We're not leaving a hoof behind. Hallelujah. He called you. You heard his voice. He made sure you didn't miss it. Amen. Oh no, he'll do whatever he has to do. He'll shake kingdoms. He'll shake hell. He'll shake systems of man. But he'll bring that bride back to the word again. Because he's claiming a people for his name's sake. You see, in our day, the revelation came forth that the Lamb had taken the book and loosed the seven seals. Now, I'm talking about what John wrote in symbolic form. And after a long time of 2,000 years, spanning seven Gentile church ages, finally here comes the seventh angel with the revealing of that mystery. Remember, he wasn't coming to give you a new set of rules and church rules and new laws. And he was come to reveal Christ in you, which is your hope of glory. That's what he's coming to do. This is what this is about. It's about Christ being revealed in bride form. How he would be. How he would live in 2014. The revealing of Christ in the maturity of the ages. Now you know why we'll understand? Because it is now the end time. Now it is the time to know that we're in the cycle of his coming. We have finally reached the end. The end has been preached about. And here we are. But at the end, there's a new beginning. That's why, shalom, it is the rising of the sun. The sun is not setting on you. The sun is up. And his resurrected power is rising upon you. We've come to the maturity of the times. Daniel 12:1, if you compare that to Revelation 10. It'll immediately go with the same anointing, the same Christ reveals his bride, himself to the bride, and continues his ministry as he reveals himself to Israel. You know, that's why a lot of people have trouble understanding Revelation 10:7. is they want to place that as just a trumpeting angel. And it was a trumpeting angel. But let's understand what was happening spiritually for spiritual Israel. You know, what is happening spiritually for spiritual Israel has happened, is happening, going to happen physically for physical Israel. Amen? So you see what's happening for the bride. There's been a trumpet sound. There's been a bride call. Amen. There's been an anointing. Calling a bride back to the Word. To open up the mysteries to her. At the same time to physical Israel. That's spiritual Israel. Your spiritual Israel. And physical Israel. They're in a physical land. Come on. Amen. And they're getting ready for their call. And it's all under the influence of the same mighty angel. It's the same Christ getting all of those that He has redeemed, whether they're Jew or Gentile. Because He ain't leaving a one of His that is written in the book. Come on now. Amen. So what happened to them physically happens to us spiritually. Amen. Now, again, right at the same time that the angel, right in the same era of time that the angel appears to Brother Branham with this message, Israel becomes a nation. Just as the gathering begins here, the gathering begins there. Amen. Amen. So again, now we've been gathered, they're being gathered out of the nations. Right? Amen. Where we've been gathered out of denominations. Hallelujah. Amen. But watch how the Gentile church had been scattered to the denomination because they rejected the original word and the new birth and lost hold of that. But now is the time of the regathering. This is a time of the maturing of the ages where that we come back to, again to the regathering where He says, I will restore, saith the Lord. Amen. He's restoring Israel to a physical nation, and He's restoring a bride as a spiritual nation. This one receives their prophet Elijah, and they receive their prophet Elijah. So there's parallels. So when we look at Daniel 12, do we see, and at that time, Michael. Amen. Michael means he who is like Jehovah. This mighty angel like Jehovah. Stand up. Then shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Every one that shall be found written in the book. Hallelujah. Amen. This was spoken to Daniel the prophet. But it's also speaking spiritually to spiritual Israel. Amen. And I want you to know it's a day of trouble like there's never been. Amen. It's a day of trouble. It's a day of calamity. It's the end time. Every kind of demon that there is has been loosed into this age, into this dimension. And it's more dark than it's ever been. Amen. It's certainly Satan's Eden is a time of evil. But in that time, Michael shall stand up. Hallelujah. Now I want you just to think about this. Because you can look over here and see those that are standing against you. But I want you to see the one who's standing up for you. Hallelujah. Amen. He stood up and took the book. Hallelujah. He stood up and he's claiming his own. Everyone who's found written in the book. Glory to God. How do you know my name's written there? I heard the call. Hallelujah. I heard the call. I want you to look tonight at who's for you. Say, I'm suffering from a terrible sickness. I want you to know who just stood up for you. Amen. His name is bigger than cancer. It is higher than tuberculosis. It is greater than that mental depression. His name is higher than
named. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee has to bow. Death has to give way to the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Sin cannot hold you. That habit in your life cannot hold you. Because Michael has stood up. Oh, this time of trouble. Oh, you're looking at the wrong thing. What's the Illuminati doing? I don't care. Oh, my. We're in this, you know, got all these ideas, you know, floating around and all these, you know, weird things that are happening. You know, the government's after us. And, oh, you know, all this evil. Who cares? Well, the Pope is doing this. I don't really care. I saw another mighty angel. I saw Michael stand up. Amen. Oh, don't you think we ought to get survival gear? Yeah. It's called the Word. I'm not part of the burning. I'm a part of the ascension. I'm not going down. I'm going up. I'm not trying to stay here. I'm trying to leave here. I have been called to a higher dimension. At that time, Michael shall stand up because he will have a bride triumphant. He will have a resurrected bride, a resurrected people. Amen. He's standing up on your behalf. We see him in Revelation 5, stood up and took the book. He stood up and began to claim everyone that's written in the book. He's come to claim me. Amen. He's come to claim you. He's come to identify himself with you. Somebody help me preach. Amen. You want to tell me what the devil's been doing to you? Amen. Let me tell you who this one is. Who's on my side? Who stood up on my behalf? Amen. He can open up the waters. He can curse death. He opened up hell. He raised it from the grave. He is the triumphant one. He's never been defeated. And he won't be defeated in your life. This God will not be defeated. He was not defeated in the body of the man Jesus, and he will not be defeated in this bride. This bride is an overcoming people, a triumphant people, an invincible army, a people of faith. They are the faith of Abraham. They are the love of Isaac. They are the grace in Jacob. They are the perfection in Joseph. They are the songs of Solomon. They are the song of David. They are the wisdom of Solomon. They are all that Jesus was. Encapsulated in a bride body. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And in my name, they will cast out devils. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, he stood up for me. Get your eyes on the one who's standing on our behalf. It says, take all their sins and put it on me. Take all their blemishes. Take all their fears. Take all their doubtings. Take all their weakness and put it on me. Hallelujah. Thy people shall be delivered. Let me sound a trumpet to you tonight. If you haven't been delivered yet, deliverance is on its way. And if you ain't been delivered yet, deliverance is in this building tonight. Lord of God, this one has stood up. here we are. We can look away and we could see a fallen angel. Revelation 9 says, shows you when the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. We're in the days of Satan's fall. While we're ascending, he's falling. Come on, somebody. We can go back to the early ages and see the rise of Satan where he ascended himself. And he said, I will ascend above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. I'll take his place. I'll be worshipped instead. That's the beginning. That's where all evil and sin began. Amen. But that's not where we are in time. We're way past there to where we're not seeing Satan ascend. We're seeing him fall. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't you realize that associated with this fall is your ascension? And you say, well, the world has fallen. The nation has fallen. The morals has fallen. Everything has fallen. Yeah, it's all falling. But you see, associated with his fall is your ascension. Hallelujah. I'm going to announce to Satan tonight, his time is up. You don't have another age to work on, devil. Amen. Your time is up. We're here at the maturity of the times. You're not practicing on us for another battle. We are the real battle. The real battle. We're the real deal. Amen. Satan, your time is up. I can hear the prophet of God. You know, and one of the messages stand up there and he sees this, Brother Branham sees this bride coming and he screams out in the spirit and he said, Satan, be careful. Hallelujah. Amen. He thinks you're going to fall. I got news for him. I'm not about to fall. I'm rising. I'm taking another faith step. I'm walking like Enoch. I'm changing dimension. I'm changing forms. Hallelujah. I can't remain the same. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't belong to Satan. I'm not his slave. I am redeemed. That's who I am. Come on, somebody. The Bible said, and he maketh his angels servants. Is that right? They're ministering spirits. Satan is a fallen spirit, so he's a tormenting one. Amen? Are you with me? But he's a servant. He is my slave. I tell him where to go, and he goes where I tell him to go. Because I don't belong to him. I'm not of his kingdom. He's not my ruler. I have been called to have a dominion over sin, over the works of the devil. And the gates of hell cannot prevail. I've done seen him in battle too many times. Hallelujah. Lord of God. One showed up at youth camp a year ago and decided he'd show off. I told your pastor, Brother Donnie Reagan, about it. He said he picked the wrong camp this time to go to. Amen. Satan, you picked the wrong meeting to come tonight because I'm after your demise. I'm wanting to see God's people free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While others have him as their king. The Bible said he's the king over the bottomless pit. He's the king over the fallen ones. But he's not my king. I don't serve him. I don't belong to him. Amen. He's not my ruler. He will not reign over my mortal body. Amen. We have the right to take dominion. Are you with me, church? Amen. I know it's Wednesday night and I'm trying to hurry. Amen. Revelation 9 shows all these demons coming out. But you ever notice that Revelation 10:1 starts with, and I saw another mighty angel. You see, it's just not Abaddon and Apollyon that's in this picture. There's another mighty angel. And he's King of Saints. He's my King. Hallelujah. Glory to God. At that time, Daniel says, Daniel 12:1, and at that time, Michael shall stand up. The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. This is the word of God to you. At that time shall my people be delivered. Hallelujah, deliverance is mine. You can throw off those shackles. Let go of those chains. While this message is going forward, the angel has stood up in the maturity of times. Because we're completing the cycle again. Everyone who is found written in the book shall be delivered. Are you with me? Amen. Now, because everyone that is open to, that's the one who's going to be delivered. Because some, it always remains a sealed book. But to the ones that it becomes open to, that's the ones that gets deliverance. And many of them, here deliverance continues. Amen. The deliverance just not for the living, but those that sweep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Some will go to the white throne judgment. But they that be white, why shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Amen. You got some fallen stars, and you got some rising stars. What part are you tonight? Amen. What are you identified with? I'm not part of the fallen stars. I'm part of the rising stars. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Satan, you got to come down because I'm taking your place. Amen. Your place in the heavenlies where you've been my accuser. You've got to come down because I'm coming to right standing with God. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end, the maturing of the times, there come a time where it's going to be open. Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. This last day, more knowledge than ever. Travel vastly increased. Amen. Come on, somebody. We see in Revelation 10, the mighty angel, only Christ it could be, coming down with an open book. A book that was held closed and the delay of opening it, and John couldn't look upon it. No man was worthy. Paul didn't know its contents. It was sealed from Peter. He didn't know. He didn't have a clue even that there were seven thunders. Seven voices that were sealed up, held up to the end time. This was revealed to John on the Isle of Patmos. And Peter knew nothing of the sealed voices or the contents of this book. Do you realize this book of Revelation that I read from? Do you realize that the majority of the disciples never ever read the book of Revelation? This happened years after John is older man. Many of them have already gone on. James is the first one to die of the apostles, and he never saw the book of Revelation. He never knew it was going to exist. Perhaps by the time of its writing, Paul's head was cut off. Amen. Maybe by this time Peter had been crucified. Nevertheless, even to get it off the Isle of Patmos would take years and years and years to get it circulating among believers. They knew nothing of its contents. Amen. Those in the 120 in the upper room, few of them ever heard of this book. Amen. But this is the last day where we are living in. And it is greater now than that day. This is greater than the day of Pentecost. Even though this is Alpha and we are Omega, yet there's something that has been left for us that the first age did not obtain. Amen. This last day is greater than the day of Pentecost that gave us a deposit on our inheritance, because this is not another deposit. This is receiving of the full and complete inheritance. Now, you know, most of you know I've got a little farm, and we sell a few animals there. We raise pedigreed stock. And I do this with my animals I sell on the farm. I sell them ahead of time before they're born. I have a waiting list before they're born. I take deposits upon the chance that this animal will be born. They will order a certain sex of animal. They'll put a deposit down. And this deposit just tells me they are serious. That upon the deliverance of the animal, they will come up with a full payment. Amen. Now that's exactly what you get when you get the Holy Ghost. Amen. It is not the full inheritance. Amen. It is a deposit, though, even on your body, that these bones have received something on the inside of them. And even if they go down in the grave, there is a claim on them. And a full payment will come one day where you are going to have a new body. Hallelujah. You see, the Holy Ghost is a deposit for your full inheritance. Amen. And the day that we are living in is greater than the day of Pentecost. We have returned to where they were, and they begin to decline. But we return to where they are, and we're going up. Are you with me? Now, Brother Branham would say this in the invisible union of the bride: let no man by his creed deceive you. You stay right straight with the promise of God, the word of God. And that word, if it is the word, a word for this day, God vindicates it so. If he doesn't, it's not the word for this day. Now, the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work this day. No, sir. That was for Pentecost. This is for the bride, the going home of the bride. Now, the Holy Ghost was for the bride. Let's get that straight. The Holy Ghost was for the bride. There was a bride back there, but this is for the going home of the bride. We're not perpetuating the ages. Come on, somebody. He said, we got something different. The Pentecostals represented that again. We're in the bride age. No more than the word of Noah would have worked in the days of Moses. No more than Moses' law would have worked in the time of Paul here. He tried to tell him, you're dead to that and you cannot have that. Again, he says, in trying to do God a service, he says, now let's see what happened when God in his time and age and his prophets are not considered, just depend on theology and priests and denominationalism like we do today. Now, closely, it gets all messed up. And if the true Spirit of God there, it'll direct it into the Word, not just one place in the Word, the entire Word for the entire age. The day of Pentecost, the Spirit directed it right into that, to Joel 2:38. The day of Luther, it directed it right into that. Wesley, in this last Pentecost move, but this is another age. This is the calling out of the bride. Not 2,000 years ago at Pentecost, or the repeat of the return, Pentecost. Now, you know, what would prompt Brother Branham to say this? What could be greater? I just want to ask you a question. What could be greater than the Spirit of God coming into a person. That's an awesome thing. That seems to be the greatest of all experiences. Amen? What could be greater than deity coming down and in your soul and possessing your mortal body? Amen. That's awesome. But this is not just a repeat or return to Pentecost. You see, it's not the initiating of redemption, but it's the finishing up of redemption. Now, think of the saying, some of the great displays of God in the past. Let me put on your spiritual thinking cap. You know, think of those great displays of God in the past. What would be greater than God, the awesome God, descending down upon a mountain? Can you imagine? In a cloudy pillar and it quaking and trembling, God's voice speaking from it. What could be greater than God taking a stone and writing in it? In that stone, laws with his finger. Amen. And giving that word to a prophet. I'll tell you, that's pretty awesome. Amen. If you were living in that day, and you know, you would say, wow, what is greater than this? Amen. It'd almost be blasphemous to come up and say, hey, this is great and this is good, but there's something greater coming. They'd want to stone you. Everybody would say, wait a minute, you're devaluing what we have. We're not devaluing what you have at all. But what could be greater? Well, let me just say, his coming as Jesus was greater than that. Amen. Jesus coming was greater than him coming down on a mountain right with a finger. Amen. God came and revealed himself in Christ. Amen. That back there was only a portion of God being displayed. But now the fullness of God was being manifested in Christ. Jesus opened the eyes of the blind, the ears of the deaf. He raised the dead. He calmed the storms. He died on the cross. You can look tonight and say, he died for my sins. That's awesome. You say, well, what could be greater than that? His resurrection was greater than that. Greater than his death was his resurrection. Come on. Because if he had just died for your sins, and your sins past taken care of, but what about sins in the future? Amen. His resurrection was greater than his death, and his ascension was greater than his resurrection. Amen. And his coming back on the day of Pentecost was greater than all of that. Because if he didn't come to dwell in you, it was all in vain for him to die. It was in vain for him to resurrect. Amen. If he just went back to heaven and disappeared, we'd just all be in a bunch of trouble. Amen. So what happened on the day of Pentecost was greater than his work at Calvary. But it could have never been unless the work of Calvary had taken place. Come on, somebody. Amen. So the lesser was making way for the greater. Are you with me now? Amen. So you see, without the lesser, the greater could have never been. Because what if he'd have poured his spirit out and there had been nobody cleansed to receive it? Nobody's sins purged. You see, this would be exactly the same trouble you'd have had in the garden where that they could have reached and took of the tree of life after taking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What if a man would have lived eternally in this sinful, wretched condition? What if a man, if eternal life, the Holy Ghost would have come and dwelt in you and you still have sin nature abiding in you? Now you live eternally with all that lusting and stealing and corruption. Amen. Yet the Holy Ghost, the coming of the Holy Ghost for God to come and dwell in man was a million times greater, but it could have never happened without Calvary. Amen. Just as the law is a part of the process. Calvary was a necessary part of the process, for without the slaying of the Lamb, the life of the Lamb would have never been released to come back on the believer. Are you with me now? Hallelujah. So you can say, well, what in the world could have been greater than writing the law of God on stone? Writing it in your heart. Writing it in your nature. That's a lot greater than putting it on stone. When he writes it in your life. Amen. And where it's no more something you read and a law you do, it's inward law working out in your members. Bringing your life subject to Christ. Are you with me now? Amen. But what would be greater now than deity coming down in a pillar of fire and birthing sons of God and filling them with deity and them drunk, staggering drunk under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost? And yet Paul said, there's something greater coming than that. Well, what could be greater? Invisible union, Brother Branham said. Here come Luther out in Reformation. His words that his church, it won't work today. Wesley's won't. Pentecost won't. It worked in their day. But it's another day. This is the opening of the seven seals. I know it sounds strange to you, but God has vindicated it so perfectly. And there's no question in it. Just perfect. And this still sounds strange to people. As when John's come out and said, behold the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And they said, what do you mean? We've had the Lamb all these years. We had the Lamb Moses gave us. That's the Lamb of God. What do you mean, behold the Lamb? Look, the Lamb. We were told by Moses to bring one without blemish. Examine him. We went through the tradition of this Passover for years and years and years. What do you mean there's a greater lamb than this? And John says, look, the lamb. Hallelujah. We've had all this preaching now for years. We've had all the preaching about what he did at Calvary. How he died on the cross. You know, we've seen The Passion, or some of you have. I've never seen the film, but some of you have seen The Passion, you know, played there on film and whatever else. But, you know, and a lot of people are enamored with Calvary and Jesus dying and his death. And he died for me. And a lot of people stop right there. They don't preach about what happened in the upper room. They just talk about the forgiveness of sins. Well, if you believe in Christ, you receive the Holy Ghost and you bypass completely the upper room because they believed on Christ. They had believed on Him. Peter even got a revelation that of Christ from God, and they still didn't have the Holy Ghost. Somebody help me preach. They were all believers. They'd already believed but had not received the Spirit. Amen. They weren't even converted yet. But the church world goes around today as well. I believed on Christ. I've accepted Him as personal Savior. We got the Holy Ghost when we believed. You did not. Amen. Amen. So they avoid Pentecost altogether. And then we have others that go as far as Pentecost and say, well, we've had the upper room experience. And then don't go any further. But it is another day. This is the opening of the seven seals. I know it sounds strange to you, but God has vindicated it so perfectly. Now, when you read the book of Hebrews and you see the blinding in that age, how much were they getting it? You know, you got the whole book of Hebrews telling about how the new covenant was better than the old one. How Jesus was a greater prophet than Moses. How he was greater than Levi. Greater priest than the Levite. Somebody help me preach. You know, you got the whole thing, you know. I want to ask you, what value would it be of me tonight to get up and tell you that Jesus is greater than the law? I mean, come on. You know, that he was greater than Moses. That he was greater than a lamb sacrifice, bloody sacrifice. This is blood. This blood is greater. You'd say, duh, Brother Tim, how dumb do you think we are? We learned that in Sunday school. Everybody knows that. Yeah, he was a greater prophet than Moses. It's better, it's better. You see, this is what the whole Hebrew book was written for, because Satan was so in the minds of the people, so anointing people, that they were not seeing their day. And now we look at them and say, them dummies, couldn't they get it that Jesus was better than all of that? Everybody knows that. But we come right down to this age and time, and we're at the same place that they are, were. And now there's a further work of the Lamb, and he's opening up seven seals. And I know that sounds strange to you. How could this be greater? You say, Brother Tim, you know, let me ask you. You don't ask me. Let me ask you. If you were walking with them on the Emmaus walk, and here comes the glorified Jesus in a resurrected body. He's changed forms. He appeared to him in another form, because he's not in that mangled body. Come on, somebody help me. He's resurrected, not mangled. Are you with me? He's, and here he's walking among, and he's a young man. And they don't recognize him in this form. And here he's walking with him. And you know who he is? He's the glorified one. And he's the resurrected one. And you can say, oh, what could be greater than the resurrected one coming out of the tomb and walking with you? And the answer is this. Is what is more awesome than the resurrected one coming back in you and walking around in your flesh? And now you're saying, well, what could be more awesome than Pentecost than the upper room? I'm trying to tell you, but you're dull of hearing. Amen. The opening of the seven seals, because it is the handing back of the entire inheritance, not just giving you a down payment on it. This is not the deposit, it's the full inheritance. Hallelujah. That means where they got a deposit, you're getting the fullness. That means where they got the earnest and the claim on their mortal, you by receiving the earnest in this hour are receiving a message that is changing you. That will glorify your body. And even those that are asleep in the grave to come forth. Because why? The mighty angel has stood up in the maturing of the times. Hallelujah. Amen. And there is a people standing right where they were on the day of Pentecost, having received the same Holy Ghost, the same deposit. But they're not stopping there. They're going all the way till their bodies are changed. Hallelujah. Glorify thou, Father. Glorify thou me with the glory I had with thee before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. We have come back to where Pentecost was to receive the full inheritance. But they fell away. You are people coming back to that same spot. But instead of falling, you are predestinated not to fall. Read the prophecy. Hallelujah! Read the prophecy. This one does not fall. Hallelujah. This rapture is not so much about his coming as it is about your going away. Hallelujah. Amen. You are ascending. You are rising. You're not getting colder and colder and weaker and weaker. You're getting stronger and stronger as you give praise to God.
fallen world.
You're part of an overcoming group. In this last day, you're rising. You're part of an overcoming group. Rising to the occasion. A people who are the continuation of the book of Acts. Who, when they failed, you step in line. Where they started declining, you start right there and start going up. Hallelujah. Amen. We are right back at Pentecost to accept what they turned down. That's where we're at. I'm going to close on the scripture, Revelation 19. Revelation 19, this is the Lamb that the prophet was sent to introduce, the Lamb that he was sent to forerun. This is the Lamb that has to say that there has been churches, churches, brides, bride, but there will come one that is the Word. It is not another time for another denomination. It is a time for the bride, the Lamb's wife. Revelation 19:1, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. Come on. Whatever He calls it, that's what it is. If He calls her a whore, she's a whore. If He calls her daughter's harlot, she's a harlot. If He says you're without spot or wrinkle, you're exactly what He said. Hallelujah. If He calls these pervert sodomites, that's what they are. Amen. If He says you're bride, you're bride. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. For He had judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornications, and has avenged the blood of His servants at her hands. And again they said, Hallelujah. Praise our God. Hallelujah. See, is a universal word. Something said in every language. You can go to Japan, China, Korea. Hallelujah is a universal word. Because it's being said by people out of every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people. And when they look on this word, they say, Hallelujah. Praise our God. Something anchors down on the inside. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne saying, Amen. Hallelujah. You know who's represented there? You're represented there. Do you know you're in this prophecy? 12 of the Old Testament, 12 of the New. They're your representation. When you see them, that's you. Hallelujah. Amen. And they worship God that sat on the throne saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Every time you hear a message from God, every time I read the Bible, I say, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's nothing but the truth. Amen. And it begins to work for me just like it did for Hattie Wright. It moves God on my behalf when I agree with the Word. Hallelujah. Amen. If He said by my stripes are healed, I say, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And it works for me. Because of my response to the Word. Hallelujah. Amen. And every time you agree with the Word, it's got to work for you. And if I can get you to agree with the Word tonight, it'll change your life. If I can get you to look away from your sickness and your symptoms and agree with the Word, you'll walk out of here healed. I don't care what condition you're in. If I can get you to say Amen, Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's got to work for you because God will meet any time He found somebody that'll believe Him. I don't care how low. lost you are. I don't care how sinful you've been. I don't care how wayward you are. If I can get you to realize he was wounded for your transgression, he was bruised for your iniquity, and he took the whippings that you deserved, and you don't have to take any more whippings. Why do you want to take all them whippings of guilt and all this and that and the other? Forget it all. And you say, amen. Hallelujah. He saved me from that. He's redeemed me. I am redeemed. So, well, I need the Holy Ghost. So what more does he have to do it? He's done his part. You do your part. What do you say? Amen. Hallelujah. You said it. I accept it. It's mine. I never got my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He gave it to me. This isn't something just said with words. It's something said with a life. You see, your life may be sympathizing with the message. You say, well, I know it's the truth. And you say, hallelujah, amen. I know it's the truth. Hallelujah, amen. You're not going to heaven. No, your life has got to testify. You're the Holy Ghost is saying amen to every word. If it says for a man to cut his hair, you're going to go get your hair cut. That's the amen I'm looking for. Come on. If it says for a woman not to cut her hair, that's the amen I'm looking for. No more question. No more arguing with it. No more doubting it. If it says, don't look like a sodomite or dress like a sodomite, come on. You're not of the fallen world. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. Then you say amen. Amen. Not just with his mouth, with your life. Amen. Amen. I'm here to fulfill the Father's word. Amen. Every word of God. If it says, man, you go get a haircut. Amen. Hallelujah. Whatever it says don't look like a Jezebel with painted up like a barn. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Don't be us identified with Sodom. Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great, no matter who you are. Come on. There's a voice that is urging you to have a praise lived out of your life. Are you with me? Amen. Oh, you ought to feel like praising him tonight. Amen. You ought to praise him in the service. You ought to praise him in your home. You ought to praise him on your job. Your whole life ought to be a worship that everybody passing by can see a worship that you worship God. That you idolize Jesus Christ. What do you boys want to look like, these punk stars? And what do you want to look like, all of these fallen creatures? What do you want to dress like? What do you want to wear, the shoes that these athletes wear? And you know, this is what you're chasing after. And this is what means so much. Come on. We're not here to idolize that. That's part of the fallen world. Amen. We're of a high calling. Hallelujah. Amen. I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters. Hallelujah. Saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great, no matter who you are. There's a voice urging you to praise, live a praise out of your life. Amen. Now, I heard as a voice of great multitude, as a voice of many waters, multitudes, nation, kindred, tongues, and people. And as a voice of mighty thunders. What is thunders? What is thunders? It's the voice of God when it's not yet understood. When it becomes understood, it's not a thunder anymore. It's a known voice. It's understood. Come on, somebody. Amen. The voice of God was speaking, and it was thundering out in Abraham's life. Amen. It was just a thunder there. Come on, somebody. Abraham didn't even know what was being said out of his life. His siblings and the other people around him did not know what was being said out of his life. But you know. Because it's not a thunder anymore. It's a known voice. Hallelujah. Amen. So you see, in Abraham's life, it was the voice of God without understanding. And so it was thunder. The voice of God was speaking, thundering in Abraham's life. But until this day, it wasn't understood. Are you with me? Other ages didn't see the mystery. But you're the mystery. Hallelujah. You say, you know, the other ages, they typed, they did this. Well, you know, no other age had one ending with H-A-M. Come on. Who discerned the thoughts and intents of the heart and was a gift to God doing it in the tent behind him? When I was in Shreveport as a boy in 1963, I'd watch Brother Branham turn with his back to the audience, call out people by name and say, as it was in the days of Sodom. Amen. That back there was the prophecy. I was watching the interpretation. Hallelujah. Amen. And he could say, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man is revealed, he's here. Reverend so-and-so, you got this condition? Amen. And you turn his back congregation just like it was in that day. Just like it was in the days of Abraham when Sarah's heart was discerned. That was the prophecy. Here was the interpretation. Amen. Back there was the prophecy. You're the interpretation. Hallelujah. We had tongues back then. We got interpretations now. Come on. It was written in symbols back then, but now it's made known. It was written on the wall. Many, many tackle your fortune till a prophet came. And then the interpretation came. With the prophet comes the interpretation. He was the prophet and you're the interpretation. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. As the voice of many waters. Now, there was Abraham's life speaking about something, prophesying. Here is Isaac. Here is Eliezer. Rebecca's voice is blended in there. If we could single out a voice, let's just tune one down just for a minute. And we single out a voice out of all that mighty thundering and these voices that are going on, screaming out from every scripture. And we tune one voice down. I can hear Abraham said, I believe God. I'm going to have that promised son. Amen. If we could, you know, if we all screamed out, you know, as a congregation, one saying this and one saying that. And, you know, you couldn't hear it. You would just be a roar. It would be one mighty thundering coming from everybody. Amen. It would be the noise of many waters. But if we single out Rebecca's voice, she would say, I was there. And that day there was an angel came, some 30 minutes before that Eliezer came, and said, get down to that water, please, and water those camels. Somebody help me preach now. And I rode on that camel to meet my bridegroom. Hallelujah. Amen. The very camels I watered took me to my bridegroom. Amen. I received it. And I rode back to meet my Isaac. Amen. The voice of many thunderings. Come on, somebody. Saying hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. He has preeminence. Amen. And when he has preeminence, when he reigns supreme, then all the prophecies that will be has been spoken will be manifest in a bride. When the word has preeminence in your life, you will be saying the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. His word is above every other word. And here, all of these down to the ages are saying there's got to come a time when the Lord omnipotent reigns, when he will have complete preeminence in a church. And they were prophesying that when the word came to its fullness, then there would come a bride. And they were only prophesying of her coming. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and of as a voice of many water, and a voice of mighty thunder, and saying, Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Abraham says, when he reigns, he'll change your body just like he did mine and Sarah's. When the Lord God omnipotent reigns, this Rebecca's going to meet her Isaac. Come on! Hallelujah. When, and Ruth was screaming out, when he reigns, there'll be a Gentile bride that'll bring forth the promised son and be married to the Redeemer. Hallelujah. Bring forth the son of David. Come on, somebody. When Abraham gave the word preeminence, a body change came and a promised son appeared. When Sarah gave the word preeminence and judged him faithful who gave the promise, her body began changing. If you're sick tonight, if you'll just judge him faithful who made the promise. Say, I can't make it happen. I'm too weak to make it happen. I can't do it, but I'm just going to judge him faithful. Your body will start changing to match your confession. Amen. When Rebecca gave the word preeminence, she went to meet her bridegroom. She became a bride. They were all saying, when the preeminence comes, what's this? When it comes, what's they're all saying? Let us be glad and rejoice. You see, Abraham saw our day and was glad. Are you with me, church? Amen. Rebecca saw our day and she rejoiced. Ruth was seeing our day and she rejoiced. And give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Here we are reflecting what will be, and we're prophesying, and they're all saying there's coming a time. There's coming a day where that he will have the preeminence. When he will take his full rule over his people. Where the word will come in his fullness. Amen. And he will be the preeminent one. And he will be the head of the body. And when it comes to the head, the marriage of the Lamb has come. And his wife has been, that we've been prophesying about. That Abraham prophesied. All of them prophesied. Hath now made herself ready. Hallelujah. Now then, how is she going to make herself ready? And to her was granted. What grace this is. And it wasn't something you earned, it was a grant. The royal grant. Amen. He granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen. Clean and white, because you are not being dressed in the lie of Abraham, but you are being dressed in the faith of Abraham. I am putting on the righteousness of the saints. The word that spoke of me, I am dressing myself in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I need some faith for this wedding. Abraham, I'm going to wear your garment. I'm taking your faith because you were prophesying of me. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving praise to God. Mama, that's me. I quit my complaining. I quit talking about the devil and how bad he's been. And I start talking about how good my God is. My eyes is on the bridegroom because another mighty angel has stood up. Hallelujah. For the fine linen is the righteousness that these saints wore is what I'm wearing today. Abraham was me. He was prophesying about me. Are you with me now? Amen. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they, happy are they who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And he said unto me, these, who are these? These that are called to the marriage supper. Come on. These are the true sayings. They were the negative. Here is the positive. There you are tonight. The true sayings of God. The word now being made flesh in a bride body. Let us be glad and rejoice, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Hallelujah. And his bride hath made herself ready. These are, I'm looking at the true saying. What Abraham was prophesying about. He was the shadow. He was the negative. You are the positive. Hallelujah. What Jacob was talking about, what he was prophesying about when he wrestled out with the angel, is happening in reality in your life. It changed your being and made a prince of you with God, made a son or daughter of God out of you. I'm looking upon the true sayings of God today. The positive versus the negative. The real versus the shadow. Let us be glad and rejoice, for his bride has made herself ready. Dress yourself. You say, Brother Tim, I see a failure. Cover up that nakedness. Come on. Reach over there and get that garment that Rebecca wore. Get on your camel and go to your promise. Come on, somebody. You say, I'm weak and I'm old and I'm feeble and I'm just unable. I can't physically do it. Step off of that and just judge him faithful, Sarah. Who made the promise. Judge him faithful. Amen. It's all right for you to say, I'm weak, I'm unable. But just look away from that and judge him faithful. He could look, we can look at the Song of Solomon, and he says, I can see him through the lattice. But you're not looking through the lattice. You're looking face to face. It's the unveiling of God. No more looking through the shadows, but looking back at the shadows and seeing myself. That was speaking of me. Mama, that's me. That's who I am. I am that overcomer that was prophesied. I will sit with him on the throne. I have dominion tonight. And Satan, you have no more power over me. Because I know who I am. I am redeemed. I've been bought with a price. I've been changed. I'm his, and he's mine. Will you stand together with me and worship? Hallelujah! Amen! I feel like praising him tonight. I feel like let my life be a worship. I feel like pouring out a praise to Him from the depths of my heart. Say, I love you, Lord Jesus, with everything that's within me. Father, take the words that I spoke. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm just a man. I can only do so much. But you do the rest of it. And I say to the devil that has tormented these people, you've done it long enough. You loose them now and let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. As I proclaim liberty to those that are bound. And in the name of Jesus Christ, for this one I'm praying for with this prayer cloth, may the answer be known that it's on the way and that they have received it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Raise your hands and rejoice. Love Him from the depths of your heart. Amen. It's the maturity of the times. And you're the call to His purpose. Amen.
Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful, it's my Redeemer, praise His name. Everybody, oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God, oh, yes, Lord, keeping me from all sin and shame. Thank God for mercy and His grace and His truth. In very, very simple terms, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all the prophecies, Rebecca, Nehemiah, Nahum. It was the cake. It was the cake in a box. You walk into the grocery store. There's all the ingredients. Everything is in there except for the water, the milk that you need. The instructions is on the outside of the box. You take it home, you open it up, you add this, you do this, you do this, mix it together, put it on a blender, put it in a pan and bake it, and here you are. A little bit of Abraham, a little bit of Isaac, a little bit of Jacob, a little bit of Joseph, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, mix it together at the end time. And ain't no wonder we've got a whole bunch rising up. It's all rising. It's all rising. It's here. The hour is here. This is why the devil hates this message. Can't you see? He hates it more now than he did when it was brought to us in the 50s and the 60s. He's trying to oppose it now stronger. Why? Because he knows what this message is. Why don't he hate Oral Roberts' message? Why don't he hate Billy Graham? Why don't he hate Till Osborne and all them guys? Why don't he hate that? Because he knows they ain't got nothing that'll produce a rapture. This is the only message that'll produce a rapture in the last days. Just pour the ingredients out, friend. Let the Holy Ghost mix it. What did it produce? A bride. A bride.
in word form. Hallelujah. Thank you, Betty. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me give you just a little update on Brother Junior before we go. I just talked to Brother Ben before service, and today they disconnected the respirator and pretty much everything off of Brother Junior. And he's breathing on his own, but they say he's got infection in his blood. They've turned him over to hospice. And Brother Ben told me before church that they're saying he might have 2 to 3 days to live. And listen, what I say, I'm saying that's what they say. And you know what? If it's his time to go, then so be it. But until we hear another report from the great physician, we want to just keep on praying and ask God for his mercy. Now, maybe some of you know what the outcome of this is. I personally don't. Faith, we know, is a revelation of the will of God. Intellectual faith will look at the promises. Yes, it's true. God can do it. God can do it. But a revelation from God won't say God can. A revelation from God will say God will. Now, I don't have that. Maybe you do. Oh, everybody got quiet. So I guess a lot of you are like me. You don't have it either. So we wait until that comes. And if that don't come, we can't produce that. Remember, Brother Ben tells us that faith is a revelation of the will of God. That's what faith really is. So until we get that, we keep taking our intellectual faith. And faith has got a real small, puny, weak sister. And her name is Hope. And hope will. I hope it's going to happen. I hope it will. I hope it will. That's hope. I mean, she's a good member to have in the family, but she's not very good when you're dying. That's right. Now, you might as well be honest and say amen. Because hope will not do this. Our intellectual faith will not do this. But if God reveals it to you, to me, to Brother Junior, to one of his children, whatever more, it'll be done. And it don't take 500 to see it. All it takes is one. But until that comes, we look at the Word. We read the promises. Oh, God, we know you can. God, we know you can. We know you can. And what are we waiting for? Him to tell us, not only can I will. But until that hits us, we just say, Lord Jesus, do your will. Do your will. Have your way. So everybody, all of us on the same page now? So this is what they say. But until, you know what? Until life is gone from that body, and then even after that, if he wants to, he could do it. I know part of his colon's gone, part of this is gone, part of that's gone, something else is gone, but my goodness. Brother Jewel was telling me, I told him the other day, let me just rehearse it to you again, of a sister over in Africa, and she had to have a complete hysterectomy. She came up in a prayer line at her church in Africa. I know her pastor, Brother Jim Namichi. Come up in a prayer line and said she wanted a baby. And the pastor said he thought in her mind, this woman's crazy. This woman is crazy. Crazy or not, she's got 4 kids. Can you imagine what God had to do? God had to create everything, and that woman knew that was taken out. The disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? He said, neither one, that the glory of God might be made manifest. Now, that woman may have cried and carried on off because she had to have a hysterectomy. But I guarantee you one thing, after the Lord recreated everything new, she said, thank God for that hysterectomy. The Lord had to let her get there so he could do a work of creation. Amen. So we want to just bring this family before God as we've continued to do, and Brother Junior before God, and know that our Father can do anything. Anything. I told Brother Tim today, I said, you know, one of the differences between us and denominational people that don't believe that God can heal. If the doctor tells them they're going to die, they just believe it. For us, though, we think, but there might be a chance that he might do something. So then they look at us and think, where do you go to church? And that's what they're asking over at the hospital. You know, where do you all go to church at? And they look at you and they know you're really, really different. Well, I'm glad they can know we're different. But what does that for us is because we have seen him do it so many times. That's right. So we want to just keep them before the Lord in prayer. Amen. So enjoyed the word tonight. Amen. Let's just go before the Lord as we will pray in dismissal and remember the services this weekend, Lord willing. We'll be gathered together here in this place again. Heavenly Father, we so thank you for the breaking of the bread tonight. So many, many wonderful things that were spoken. Shadows, types, thunders that were clarified, voices that were revealed. We thank you for it, Lord. Truly, as your prophet said, it's a slowly unfolded mystery. We're so glad to be living in this day when we can see it, Lord. Dear God, I've just shared with the church as far as the last update that I knew just a little bit before 7 o'clock tonight with our brother Junior. Lord, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're able to reach right down in that hospital room where our brother is tonight. You could create him a new colon. God, we've seen you do things right here. We've seen you create. We've seen you take babies' hearts that was missing a chamber, missing a valve, and through prayer, you created another one. There's women standing here tonight that was told by doctors that never have babies, but them they not only got babies, but them children standing here tonight praising you, a child that shouldn't even be here. So we know you can do it. But the thing we want, Father, is your will. So faith is a revelation of the will of God. So we take our faith, we believe, we take our little sister hope, and we apply her. We do everything that we can, and we just wait to see what you will do. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our brother Junior. If this is his time to cross over, we wouldn't try to keep him here for nothing in the world. Lord, we love him, we'll miss him, but yet, Lord, we come here by the will of God, and the prophet said we leave the same way. So if it's his time to go, we wouldn't definitely try to change that. But you know how it is. We just hate to give one another up. And we just don't want to miss an opportunity which you can do something. So we commit him and his family, Lord Jesus, into your care. Now the things that we've heard tonight, I pray that our hearts will be fertile ground by which we would be able to receive them and ruminate as sheep and think on those things until we become what we have heard. Go with us now, I pray, dear God. Bring us back at the appointed time. In Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you, saints. Remember, the camp meeting will be coming up over in North Carolina in just a couple of weeks. And Brother Timothy Pruitt will be preaching the first night, and then Brother Tim Pruitt will be preaching the other three services. So I know they'd appreciate any services that you can attend. Prayers for that, that God will just be with them. We're leaving a wonderful hour on it. Let's sing it together. Amen. As we get ready to go. May God take the contents of this word, mix it all together, and pour it out that we can be bread on his table. And the church said, amen.